Hi again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal, coming to you again from that special time of year when we announce the annual State of the Science issue. Those of you who have been reading or listening for a little while know that we consider this our flagship issue every year. It's an opportunity to bring together some high-caliber authors and papers that coalesce around some theme. This year, that theme is solutionism, which is a term that has had considerable impact in various disciplines. But it's the notion that we tend to believe that every problem has a solution, and often a technological one. It's just a matter of finding the right answer. There's been some pushback against that notion as people have increasingly come to realize the complexity of problems and the unintended consequences that can arise. So we've put together a special issue with a variety of papers coming at the debate from different ways and offering some examples and unpacking how we as a field might move forward despite the complexity of the problems that we face as health professional educators. I'm absolutely thrilled that one of the papers in that issue was submitted by Annika van der Niet, who is a postdoctoral researcher at Radboud University Medical Center in the Netherlands. She and Alan Bleakley, emeritus professor at Plymouth University, have submitted an article entitled "Where Medical Education Meets Artificial Intelligence," and then in quotes, "Does Technology Care?" Annika, first and foremost, thank you for your efforts on this manuscript, and I'm thrilled to have a chance to talk with you about it today.
Yes, thank you for the invitation.
I actually want to start with the opening sentence of your abstract. I found it a very powerful introduction into the whole issue, where you've said, "Technologies such as deep learning, artificial intelligence, promise benign solutions to thorny, complex problems, but this view is misguided." Again, just a very clear thesis statement that certainly is provocative right from the outset. What is it that led you to say such a bold statement so absolutely?
Yes, well, let me then probably start with why I started to write this paper, because, well, I found out that there were quite a lot of papers discussing artificial intelligence, and most of them were very positive about the use of artificial intelligence in medical, well, healthcare. And I thought this is not the whole story, and we should probably first discuss a bit more on what is artificial intelligence and what actually can it do in healthcare, because it promises a lot, but are those promises real? And before we run after this technology in the pace that we do right now, I think we should stop and reflect a bit on what happens and then, yeah, ask critical questions. And well, that more or less made me do this statement. So it can do a lot, but it doesn't solve all problems.
Well, and much of the critique that I've seen has really focused upon, can the machines learn well enough to do tasks that humans can't? And increasingly we're seeing examples of that, but there's still some debate about just which types of problems will artificial intelligence be able to address. Your concern is more with what you've called the cold technologies versus warm hands on medicine, more the humanistic aspects. Can you explain your concerns in terms of how artificial intelligence might misguide our health practitioners?
Yes, well, of course, this is not something that stands alone. There's something going on for quite some time, and it's not something new in healthcare. Since the entering of the computer and even before, healthcare practitioners are used to make use of tools and technology, medical technology. And every technology that is introduced into clinical healthcare will change the way that healthcare practitioners learn and also how they interpret information and make sense of it, basically, to come up with a diagnosis. But the basics of healthcare and the basics of being a physician is having a patient in front of you and use your own bodily skills, basically, to make sense of what is going on with this patient. And the more technology you will use, the more information you will gather, which is a good thing. But, of course, there are limitations to that as well, because then you also have to process all this information to understand it, to make use of it. And now, with the increasing use of medical technology, there's more and more information. And, of course, the second wave is the digitalization. So after this medical technology, we now have all this digital technology as well that we can make use of. But then the next step, of course, is that these computers start to think for themselves. And then they're placed on basically the same level as the physician. But the thing that we then miss is the aspects that, well, that makes him or her a physician, and that's to make use of his or her own bodily skills. And that's the warm, hands-on medicine that we're talking about in this paper. And that is so very important. As also we mentioned in the paper, healthcare is about caring and not only about curing. The more information you gather, you can, well, you get away from this patient, and in the end, you probably don't even need the patient anymore. You only need the data from this patient. Well, we kind of question this development.
Well, and I'm glad you raised that sort of historical context and the notion that this concern isn't without precedent. What do you consider, if anything, to be unique about the threat that artificial intelligence provides in this regard? Is it something different than the same concerns that have been expressed, or is it just an amplification of the concerns as the technology becomes more robust?
Well, artificial intelligence has the potential to not only diagnose or assist a physician with a diagnosis, but also to predict. And then it does the job, basically, of the physician. And so the idea is that artificial intelligence, well, you just put lots of data in the system. Of course, it's more complicated. You have machine learning and you have deep learning. The thing I'm now talking about is the deep learning. So you put lots of data in the computer, and then the artificial intelligence more or less searches for patterns and then comes up with predictions. And not any other technology has come that far, basically. So there is really, that's something that we should discuss. That's also what we mentioned in the paper. With artificial intelligence, so you have machine learning, there you put lots of input and output. You present that to a system, and then the computer system will, after a while, learn the relationship between input and output that you provide. And then you provide another patient and another type of input, and it will come up with an output based on what it has been learning. So that's machine learning, and that's used in several disciplines in the hospital already, mainly disciplines that use medical images.
So as we worry about objectifying patients in the way that you're describing and recognizing that this has been a tension that has existed for ages in a variety of different forms, how do we address the need to revalue personal connections in the way that you're encouraging us to in this paper?
Well, I think artificial intelligence now is booming, basically. There's lots of attention for it in several disciplines. But I also feel that there are more people that start to think about the limitations of artificial intelligence also. I think just by using it and just by putting it into real practice, physicians themselves, residents, everyone involved with it will encounter also the limitations of it. So I think with every technology, you only hear the enthusiasm and you read the papers where, well, fantastic results are presented. But then after that, you will get people who start to critically reflect on what happens. And I feel that movement, that's already there. The other thing is also to temper it a bit, but then also think about what it can bring to us. Because, of course, there are also positive aspects that we can use out of this whole technology. But the thing is that we have to get grip on it. It's so complex, especially the deep learning part of artificial intelligence, that even technologists, the guys who actually built this stuff, sometimes don't understand what happens. And can you imagine that a physician should understand what's going on there? So I think the thing that we should do is to teach some of the basics to learners, residents, and maybe also physicians working in the clinic, because they have to be able to understand these developments in relation to their profession. And also, there's lots of information out there that cannot be grasped by artificial intelligence. So that's good to know. And we should teach medical students a bit on the basics of artificial intelligence in order to make them aware of the place of this technology in relation to what other skills they have, so they can give them some tools to stay critical and also to stand up if they feel that it's not right or that it goes too fast.
So that leads me to one final question, which is, again, just thinking about that particular activity you just described, where we need to introduce students to these technologies, but help them better understand their use and the unintended consequences. Do you have any particular advice for those who are attempting to do that with students in terms of ways in which they can help their trainees keep sight of the human side of medicine, even while they're engaging with these new technologies, presumably with enthusiasm on the part of many?
Yes, I think reading papers like the one that I and Alan Weekly submitted is probably one of the things they should do, to not only be exposed to the papers that show possibilities, but also papers that show the limitations. And then probably also in the whole curriculum, we have to think of using other frameworks to understand learning. Because I think that we live in a very, I would call it a cognitive era. So we understand learning as something that happens in the head of the individual. And I personally don't think that's the whole story. I think we should place an individual in the context. And I think we should look at learning in a slightly different way and use frameworks such as actor network theory, in which you also place this technology. When you do that, you're able to understand the relationships and what happens in the whole clinic when you take this whole environment physician relationship as a starting point for learning. So we tend to make learning of students easy, so to say. We tend to make them think that it's also a way of problem solving. You just have to follow rules and procedures and stuff like that. And in that way, we also reason about artificial intelligence. That's too limited. We should try to incorporate the role of the environment, the role of technology, the role of objects. And if you use other frameworks for learning, you would also probably think a bit different on the curriculum of medical students in some respects.
What a perfect way to end up as a starting point in terms of addressing the problems that you're raising practically. People should definitely go read this paper. So that seems like a very good place for me to remind them of where they'll find it. The voice you've been hearing is that of Annika von Yeet. She and her co-author, Alan Bleakley, have this paper entitled Where Medical Education Meets Artificial Intelligence, Does Technology Care? In the January 2021 issue of Medical Education. And I would certainly reinforce Annika's advice in her most recent answer to go take a look at it and use it as a tool in your own teaching in terms of how we might continue to enable well-rounded healthcare practitioners. Thank you very much, Annika, and I wish you well in your continued development of this work.
Thank you. Thank you very much.